Good afternoon, everybody. It's me, Kevin Stevenson. You've joined me on I Don't Care with, of course, me, Kevin Stevenson. Appreciate you spending a little bit of your time today with me here on I Don't Care, where we talk about healthcare, leadership, management, innovation, you name it, we'll talk about it. So today's guest is Amy Brown. Amy is the founder and CEO of Authentix. And Authentix is a conversational intelligence platform for listening to customer voices at scale in healthcare. And Amy really believes that the key to informing healthcare today, or reforming healthcare today, is to start by listening. So, Amy, first of all, welcome to I Don't Care.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. I have to say, of all the podcasts I've ever been familiar with, yours has my favorite name.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You gave me a nice little entree. I have to explain it every now and then. It's not that I don't care. I've been doing this for about 36 years, but I'm not a direct patient caregiver. So fortunately for all of our patients, I'm not, but I support all of our folks here at the hospital that do. And so I have to explain that about every 10 episodes. So thank you for allowing me to do that. So Amy, tell my audience just a little bit about you, your career, and how did Authentix come to be?
Yes. So I will start with just a quick note about my early beginnings. I grew up the daughter of a physician who I will always remember. He said this when I was growing up all the time. He said, "Amy, if you ever want to know how I diagnose a patient, I start by just asking them questions, and they will usually lead me through their own story to the root of the problem." And that always stuck with me. But I actually didn't follow in his clinical footsteps because, like you, I found out pretty quickly that I was not meant for clinical care. but I still had a passion for the healthcare system and for populations that needed care in our country. And so I ended up, getting my education in social work, actually, and then spending most of my career prior to launching this company. I spent the majority of my career in the business side of healthcare. So health insurers and managed care and pharmaceutical and even provider owned kind of health plans. That's kind of where I grew up from a career perspective.
Okay. Well, we have a little bit in common. I spent some time on the dark side as well. And so that was an interesting point in my career as well. And I also saw that you spent some time in the governmental sector too. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, I was fortunate to land kind of my first real job out of graduate school in state government. And I say fortunate because, at a young age of 22, I was given some immense responsibility and opportunity to learn about, kind of the macro view of how our healthcare policies and regulations are made and how deals get done on, the House and Senate floors of our state and federal governments. And it was really the opportunity that allowed me to fall in love with this idea of systemic change.
Okay, very good. So how did Authentix come to be? It's, reading your website is really fascinating, what y'all have developed. So I definitely want to hear this story.
Well, I think it really was born out of the culmination of my upbringing, my education, and my career experience. From a professional perspective, I was always in roles that were operations heavy, which meant that I often was in charge of kind of the customer facing side of the business. Contact centers and the front door of our industry, if you will. And I just became really aware of how these little micro conversations that we were having with millions of patients or members or consumers, whatever you want to call them, those conversations had a lot of content inside them that mattered and that was being really stored on our platform and on our servers, but really ignored by the rest of our business. And I just saw that immense data source as an opportunity to tap into something that was very rich and also held a lot of kind of insight that could be gleaned from and by the rest of our organization. And so I just got to a stage in my career and my life where I saw that problem pretty, and I was convinced that I knew the problem well enough, and I started to dream about a solution that could start to make that data source accessible and meaningful and useful to leaders. And so in 2018, left my corporate career and went all in, as they say.
Well, good for you. You know, listening to what you've done and reading about what you've done, yeah, I know for me in my role here as COO at the hospital here in Central Texas, you know, I like you. You know, I get information from, you know, I'll get something from our customer experience verbatims, conversations in the hall, email from people in town about different things, you know, discussions with medical staff, and everything has great information in it. But how do you coalesce that information to help you make informed decisions and things like that? So talk a little bit about how Authentics, you know, really can help amplify all of those disparate voices and really get them aligned into a direction where operators like me, customer experience people, whatever, can really make those informed decisions and really make, you know, affect serious change.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, you bring up a really good point and challenge of leaders in terms of understanding how to separate out anecdotes from, you know, a data-backed, you know, substantive signal in your business. It's really, really challenging. And so that's a big part of what Authentics aims to do. We call it listening at scale. And so at scale is a buzz phrase in the market. Let me define it from our perspective. Listening at scale means, number one, you're able to listen to up to 100% of the interactions that your business is having with your customers. The second component is being able to extract out of those conversations every bit of value that exists within them. You know, one person's value might be understanding how your hospital employees are doing in terms of interacting with those patients. You want to know their quality and are they representing your brand effectively. But for someone down the hall from you, they might get value out of hearing what patients are saying about what it's really like to, you know, navigate the healthcare system or your hospital system. You might, you know, that those individuals might want to know, well, are they a risk of leaving us and going down to, you know, down the road to another hospital system because they didn't have a good experience? And so harvesting all the different parts of conversations that might have value for different parts of you know, your system is a part of listening at scale. And then the third is really about making that voice of customer real and relevant and accessible to every part of the enterprise itself. There is no longer a need or an expectation that customer service type calls are relevant only for the call center. They are relevant truly to every part of the system and have the ability to inspire everybody within your workforce if we can only listen and access them. So that's what Authentics does, using artificial intelligence and a software platform that helps make the conversations we analyze accessible and digestible by the folks who use our platform.
Okay, the perfect lead-in, because you answered my next question. How do you do it? Through AI, right? Okay.
We do. And we have built our own proprietary AI models, and what that really means in plain speak is that 6 years ago when we founded the business, we said, look, we want to focus in on the healthcare industry because we want to really understand the problems that are unique to customers who navigate inside the healthcare industry. And we hired our own social workers, nurses, counselors to do the manual listening and start to tag and label what's actually happening in these conversations so that we could have individuals who really understood what they were talking about. And that workforce has continued to stay employed by Authentix. And it's really been the foundation of our innovation and creating these AI models to help us sift through the noise of all this conversation data and find things that have value. And so we've been very intentional about how we've gone about building AI.
Okay. So I've talked to a lot of folks that are kind of on the forefront of AI and healthcare, and there's still a lot of consternation about utilizing AI. Talk to me a little bit about, how Authentix kind of cuts through that noise with your clients and really helps them understand, the benefit of utilizing AI. Because like I said, there's a lot of folks that really try to shy away from it.
Yeah. And I understand that because it feels still very mystical out there, like in the AI world. There's a lot of hype and yet not a lot of real tangible return on investment examples that the industry has experienced. And the industry is filled with all kind of regulatory pressure, and it's a scary thing to both feel the pressure of innovating while also making sure that you don't mess up from a compliance perspective, right? So I get it. And, the way we've tried to navigate that with our clients and prospective clients is to be consultative and help our clients understand both the risks and rewards of AI. We believe that there is not a single tool that can do all the things you want. You have to have a toolkit, and you need to understand the differences and the fundamentals of those tools and to know when to apply what tool for what job you have at hand. So we spend a lot of time trying to demystify and educate the market and also help make recommendations about, what type of AI solution might help contribute to a productive outcome for your business. And we know in order to truly break into the market, you have to demonstrate a return on investment pretty clearly. And so we spend a lot of upfront time focused on that.
Okay. So I don't want you to divulge any company secrets or anything, but okay, say I'm a prospective client and I come to you and say, we have volumes and volumes of consumer surveys about our organization. Talk to my audience a little bit about your process. How do you take that data and get it to a point using your AI where you can generate a report for me that provides me with a solid ROI for your services?
Yeah, well, the first thing I would say is we think we can help with a data source that is actually not surveys at all. Like what we typically do is we ingest your recorded phone calls that are going into your rev cycle or billing team or your nurse triage line in those recorded interactions, your patient registration conversations. So we focus on all forms of unstructured data, if you will. And the biggest form of unstructured data that we specialize in is conversation data that occurs typically within a contact center. It can also occur on a web chat or a text base. So we take in all that kind of data. And then, yes, we do take in survey-based, you know, responses, those free text fields. The reason we kind of deprioritize or de-emphasize survey data is because it's a skewed data source. And we feel that your conversation data, you have access to the whole of it, right? And whereas surveys are typically completed by a fraction of your customers. So so that's why we prefer that data source. And we would work with you to say, okay, what are your main sources of data? And we would learn what your primary objectives are. Are you trying to drive cost out of your business? And so you want to know how to prevent unneeded, unnecessary interactions coming into your contact center. Are you trying to figure out why more patients aren't using your patient portal to pay their bills or to schedule things? If so, patients are usually telling you in one form or another. And if you aggregate that data, you can kind of find out what the root issues are. Or are your interests in understanding, like, how do you connect your administrative side of your business to your clinical side of your business? Oftentimes, patients and caregivers are saying to the billing person why they're canceling their follow-up visits and or why they haven't yet paid their bill. Maybe it's because of a social or environmental issue, right? So connecting that interaction to the clinical care team is another kind of goal of many of our clients.
Okay, so I think I'm getting it now. Okay, so you're listening in on conversations, but you're actually listening versus, I gotta admit, somebody in the call center or somebody, you know, rev cycle, you know, just listening to pick up a couple of points. You're actually listening to the entire conversation, the nuances. Now, are you even drilling down to like inflection and things like that? You know, does that help, you know, help you come to your conclusions through your listening sessions, if you will?
Yeah, it's definitely much more sophisticated than just looking for keywords that are spoken in a conversation. And yes, you've got it. It's about listening to the totality of the conversation and using that totality to make some inferences about what is being said, what is driving at positive, negative, or neutral sentiment, what the key issues are, what the asks are, what's being said about competition. You know, it's there's so much in conversation data. The biggest challenge is deciding where to start, honestly.
Sure. Well, it seems like, you know, you're picking up on those throwaway comments that most people aren't even gathering, right? And you're able to use those to really bring more sophisticated data analysis to it. So do you ever do anything? Do you ever like have recorded conversations, video conversations? Are you then watching for body language or anything like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And definitely it is in the realm of possibility. What we currently do from a visual perspective is many times if you are an agent answering calls from a customer, not only are you talking to the customer on the phone, but you're also entering information into a screen. And oftentimes those screens are being recorded as well. So we will take in both the screen recording as well as the audio recording. And we can use that screen to monitor and detect whether or not misinformation was keyed into the screen and check for quality and accuracy there. We have yet to analyze patient conversations that are in video. And I think that's an opportunity, but also one that we want to be super sensitive about because it just adds another layer of identity that we would want to make sure we have properly screened out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to admit, a little fascinated about the Eddy effect. Talk about that. Explain that. Tell my audience a little bit about how that interplays, because I find it really interesting.
Well, thanks. Yeah. So the eddy effect comes from this phenomenon that actually happens on a river. If you think about a river, the strongest current flows down the middle. And down the middle of a river is where there's less likely to be obstacles. But if you look at the sides of the river, that's where there's more likely a tree or a boulder or something big coming into the river. And an eddy is created when that current is obstructed by an obstacle, and it creates this countercurrent flow that creates this kind of swirling motion in the water. And if you've ever spent time
on a white water rafter, I totally understand.
Me too. I love it. And this is where I got the idea. Okay. Because as we started the company, we started like noticing this phenomenon in the data where customers, patients were saying, this is the fifth time I've called. I still don't have my ID card, or I still don't have this bill right on my, you know, on my statement, and I am frustrated. And so we started to notice that customers are cycling over and over again in literally these preventable interactions, and it's costing the system and it's costing the customer. And so we've developed a machine learning model called the Eddy Effect, which is aimed to identify when customers are stuck in their journey, quantify, trend it, and even identify what the root causes of those eddies are.
So I'm a storyteller. That's what I do. I love doing it. But talk to me a little bit about data-backed storytelling, because, you know, a lot of times I'm just going off on my own. And yeah, there's mainly truth to it, but I take a little ministerial license and throw a few other things in. But you know, I think you've developed more credibility when there's data behind your stories. Tell me a little bit about how you do that, how you create that for your clients.
Yes. Well, everybody loves a good story, but we suddenly feel like when we're in a business setting, you know, we have to be just all data driven, right? And then what we're saying is there's a need for both. When we as business leaders need to make a decision, we have to rely upon high quality data to justify the decision, to justify the problem, et cetera. And so a big part of our platform, our product, is to quantify trend and show visually data. But we've learned through our experience that data alone doesn't drive change. In order for leaders to really become invested in making change, they have to be hit in their gut and their soul. And that's where story comes in. And so we have also a part of our software that allows users of our platform to listen to the actual literal customer voice that's coming through their contact centers. Of course, it's been de-identified. Of course, it's been, HIPAA qualified, if you will. But our software actually allows us to compile clips of customers that are talking about similar or like themes. So for example, if you, Kevin, decided one day you wanted to log into the Authentics platform and you wanted to go into the audio clip library and understand what customers are saying about your online patient portal, you could actually search and find clips of your actual customers who, without being solicited, just were talking about your patient portal to your billing team or your rev cycle team. And hearing the literal voice of the customer, we have found, is an important part of the storytelling process. So it's the combination of aggregated, quantified data with the qualitative voice of customer that together help tell the complete story.
Okay, that's great. Well, in the last few minutes, I do want to touch on, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, hospitals and health systems. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, how technology can help prevent physician burnout, because we're all faced with that. You know, we've got such a huge physician shortage in the country. Read something last week, we're going to be 1.4 million physicians short in the next few years. And so, yeah, and recruitment is always difficult for everybody. So how do you keep physicians engaged and prevent them from burning out so that they have, a longitudinal quality career that supports a quality patient experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tough challenge that the whole healthcare ecosystem has, and you know, it's going to take an army of strategies to work towards the goal that you just stated, Kevin. But I would say that from our vantage point, artificial intelligence should be considered a tool that can remove some of the distractions or administrative tasks that physicians are otherwise burdened to complete. And we know at Authentix more than anybody that, you know, other stakeholders in the healthcare system are piling on to physicians, you know, a tremendous administrative burden, whether it's the insurance companies or the, you know, the specialty pharmacies and pharmaceutical manufacturers who have all these products for patients. Physicians are bearing the weight of the administrative burden. And so the ways that we think we can help is first, listening at scale to these conversations and identifying that problem in and of itself. We listen this year, we will listen to 300 million patient conversations, and they all are telling a story of physicians who are bearing the weight of navigating the care path for those patients and having to interact with payers and pharma and pharmaceutical, et cetera. And then the other way I think that we can really help physicians is more on a kind of hospital by hospital basis. I've heard from many physicians that kind of feel like the survey process is not a complete story of their care as physicians. And one of the things we found from listening to contact center conversations, and yes, I mean those non-clinical contact center conversations, patients are talking about their clinical care experience. And oftentimes they're saying wonderful things about their experience. And on the flip side of that, oftentimes physicians bear the brunt of a customer's negative experience on the non-clinical side of business, right? And so I think listening to the non-clinical side of the customer journey is a more holistic way to reflect on the total experience, including that physician side of the patient's experience.
Very good. Well, Amy, it's been a real pleasure in speaking with you. So my audience, they're interested in contacting you, hearing more about Authentix and what you can do for them. How can they do that?
Well, you're welcome to contact me on LinkedIn, Amy Brown, and if you just search with Authentix, you can find me there. You can also visit our website at authentix.com. That's authentic with the word or the letter X at the end.
That's great. Amy Brown, founder and CEO of Authentix, thanks so much for being with me today on I Don't Care with me, Kevin Stevenson. And folks, I hope you've enjoyed today's discussion. Yeah. AI, it's not as scary as everybody thinks, but it sounds like Amy and her team can certainly help you navigate through that as you dig deeper in your operations or your customer experience or anything else it sounds like they can help you with. So with that, thanks so much for spending time with me today, and we'll see you again real soon. Take care.